Welcome to Every Other Wednesday, a bi-weekly conversation with Dylan Vickers and me, Devin Navaratnam. In this episode, Dylan raps a familiar Fiverr song, we talk about cybernetic ninjas, and I get schooled on total media blackout and the giraffe problem. So sit back and relax, because the night is dark and full of terrors, and Wednesday is coming. All right. Are we recording now?
Yeah, we're recording.
Nice. All right. What do you want to talk about today, Dylan?
Man, fuck if I know.
Hey, we're that's a podcast, and we have no idea what we're going to talk about.
It's all good. We'll think of something. I got
show notes.
Show notes. So if you like the if you like the music, check out Villainous Beats. He's always working on new stuff. You can.
Yeah, this is the end. This is the end of the podcast. Okay. So. I actually saw a thing today. He normally puts up these hype videos for his beats all the time, but it's with him and his little boy. He calls him King Carter.
Oh wow!
And his little guy hypes his beats for him.
Oh hell yeah!
It's fucking awesome.
I dig that a lot.
Yeah. And he has him say villainous beats too.
Nice.
It's just amazing.
Does he have him do the whole thing? The VLNS.
No, I think he does have a tag like that, but the last one I saw was before the drop. Carter goes villainous beats, and then
that's so cute. Yeah. I love that a whole lot.
And then they go a. It's real good.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I had this little note here that says time to pick up more music because season two of Every Other Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a thing we should do, maybe.
We should do it, maybe, like, our 20th episode?
Maybe.
Around there?
Are we gonna do seasons? Do seasons matter?
I don't know, man. I think 20 episodes is nothing to, you know, it's a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely. But doesn't a season have an arc? I mean, unless you're BoJack Horseman?
Well, I think the entire arc of our podcast is learning how to make a podcast. So.
That's very true. That's a big true. We're doing better every day.
I think we're doing better. We're doing good.
Even though the days, like, we don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about.
And like in the past months, we've skipped weeks. Whatever.
It happens. Storms happen. Yeah. Life happens.
Life happens. Sleep happens.
Sleep happens. Depression? That happens.
That happens. Let's talk about fun stuff and then serious stuff or just fun stuff or...
I'm down for whatever, man. I am like... I'm looking at the ticking clock. I'm thinking about shit I've done already. So yeah. I briefly dipped my toe back into the poison well that is Facebook, and I quickly retracted my toe. I don't enjoy it anymore. Like at first it was like I want to do this whole thing for like mental health betterment and that sort of thing and controlling my time and taking accountability and being mindful about the things I put my time and in or attention into, and one of the things I realized I didn't need as much anymore was Facebook, and so I popped back on, and it's the same thing with everything else on the internet. It's all people who are trying to just get like a dopamine hit from like people interacting with the stuff they put out there, which I mean I can't say too much about because I do a blog, I make this podcast, I tweet way too much. But
like my posts, people, please.
Yeah, smash that bell, fam.
Smash that MFing subscribe button, fam.
But yeah, like I don't know. Subscribe
button on.
It's like mostly I got sick of seeing the bullshit from my conservative friends.
I think we're talking about like the benefits and the non-benefits from Facebook or whatever.
talking about group and how, like, you only use Facebook, like, at that time you only used Facebook for, like, the memes anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, I am turning into that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like, I just check Facebook. Like, if there's any cool, any funny memes, I will screen cap them or save them, and then I will move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It really depends on what you're trying to do, because I think the internet can be helpful if you choose to build your relationships that way, like healthily.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you, like, I mean, I don't think this podcast would ever exist if we didn't have the internet.
Oh, so, definitely not. Where we put it.
Right. No, I mean, like, even just, like, connecting after high school. Like,
yeah, no, definitely.
So, and then, like, a lot of my friends, like, I stay in contact with my friends, and, like, we know what's going on in each other's lives, and we stay in contact because of Facebook and Twitter. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm thankful for that kind of stuff, but, yeah, it's weird, like, maturity, like, I guess we're the first generation of people that, like, have to realize how to be mature on the internet, and, mm-hmm. like, when enough is enough, and how to get away from bad habits.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I don't go on YouTube anymore unless I have, like, really have time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, their average YouTube videos, the average YouTube user watches YouTube for 40 minutes or more.
Mm-hmm.
In one sitting.
Oof.
And I'm one of those people now. Like,
yeah.
That's...
You're breaking up pretty bad, my
for
dude.
My attention deficit, but I probably... Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I just exited the document tab. Am I breaking up now?
No.
Okay.
It's so that Chrome. It's using all that RAM.
It was that Chrome. I'll access the notes on my phone instead.
Yeet.
But what I was saying is that it's probably not good for my attention deficit, but I also have a video accelerator
mm-hmm.
Extension on my Chrome.
Yeah.
And I do times 2 speed on, like, every video, so I can watch 2 times more videos.
I can't imagine doing that. Like, I know we did it for, like, a bit for our episode with John, where we did the watch cells at work at, like, 5 times speed or whatever it was. Huh. And it's like, I can't imagine doing that and still being able to enjoy the content.
It's, it really depends on what you're doing. I mean, I get into those modes where I'm, like, really, like, hyperactive, and I, like, want to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it appeases that nature in me.
Yeah.
It probably is not healthy for my attention. Like, I should be able to stay patient and watch a video and not do anything else.
Just pop a Claritin D, be like me, it'll make you real focused. I was at work the other day, and it was the first time I had tried Claritin D, and I took it about maybe an hour before I went into the office, because I'd just been feeling miserable the last 2 uh-huh. weeks. I don't know what it was. Guess it was allergies, because the Claritin worked.
Nice.
But, so I was sitting at my desk, and I work from 1 to 10, and normally after the first hour I'll take a break, smoke a cigarette, come back, and I was just, like, flying through, like,
yeah.
the first, like, 10 people who called, and cool. I was like, man, this is fucking wild, what is going on? And then I looked down at the clock and it was like 3:45, and I'm like, I haven't taken a break for like 2 hours and 45 minutes, what's wrong yeah. with me? And, like, I went outside and smoked a cigarette, and I got to talking to someone, and I was, like, focused on what they were saying, but I also felt like I had to maintain, like, being active. So, I did this weird thing I haven't done since I was in middle school, where I just kind of pivoted on my hips and let my arms swing back and forth. And I'm like, I look like a fucking idiot right now. What am I right doing?
That's awesome.
If we have any animator friends who can, like, draw a stick figure of me doing that, like, that little, like, arm swing nonsense, that would be some good show art.
Hell yeah. Were you listening with empathy?
I did not go to the length of drawing a cat on my wrist because that makes me think of Cat's Cradle.
You didn't record your conversations with loved ones and make everybody else feel uncomfortable?
I did not.
Bad.
That's so cute. I honestly I love Alex and Matchy so much. And yeah. Matchy just followed me on Instagram the other day and I'm like, "Oh, nice. Hey."
It was adorable, but like the reactions from the guys was really funny too.
It was so good.
They're like, "Yeah, I didn't have time to record anything with my wife." So,
and Merlin's very much out of the public,
right
nowadays, and so spoiler alert: the challenge for next week is going to be find a use for your harness. Where they so I think it was Marco who posted this thing. No, it was Stephen Hackett who posted this thing on 512 pixels, and it was like the weirdest peripherals you can get for the iPad. And one of them's like a 2-in-1 like a toilet paper roll holder, and then it's also like a thing that goes up and like holds your iPad so you can use your iPad while you're on the toilet.
What?
And there's another one where it's a harness that it wraps around your shoulders and you can walk around and have your iPad like hanging in front of you. And
oh my god.
It's like, find a use for your harness. So that's next week's challenge. But I was like, oh my god. It was such a good show, such a good after show. Please stop talking about Survivor.
I could, yeah. No, that was, yeah. But you don't get it, Dylan. You need to watch Survivor.
Dubai Friday got me into Survivor. I watched
Did you actually watch some of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm deep in the stack when it comes to Survivor.
Nice.
But,
taking no stacks?
Deep in the stack.
Nice.
And but no, I love them a lot. I enjoy the bit. I want new bits.
I like when their artist person was on. What's his name? Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin.
This
Kevin
week
Budnick, I think.
Yeah, he was pretty good talking about Whole Foods stories.
Being the cart wrangler? Yeah.
The cart wrangler. The Sisyphean task. Of wrangling carts.
What do they call that job? The cart wrangler? You know, the cart Sisyphus.
That cart centipede. Do they have any good terms for that? No, we just call them carts.
I couldn't do that job precisely for the reason why he said he didn't enjoy the job, which was like just knowing that they're never all going to be back where they need to be.
Never all be there. It is dealing with entropy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a welcome to Dubai Friday. Dubai Friday.
Oh yeah.
Where we talk about Dubai Friday, and the task is Dubai Friday. So.
Welcome to Do It by Friday.
Do it.
Challenge
by Friday.
Each other. Challenge yourselves. God. I just re-listened to that episode the other day. I think it was Back on Our Bullshit or something like that was the episode title where they... I don't know if you listened this far back, but...
Probably. No, I didn't get the bit.
Oh, back dude. You gotta go back through the back catalog. Yeah. But it was... the challenge was to use the gig economy. And they used, like, Fiverr and stuff. And there was the... a birthday song made for Alex by Max, which was hilarious. And
they talk about this a lot, yeah.
Anytime that I like yell happy birthday, it's like the hype man in the back of the song. It's your birthday, Alex, this one's for you, you're a good friend, you know that's true, happy birthday. It's got a real Gilbert Grape quality to it.
Hey, speaking of grapes, they did a study on a grape, man.
They did a study on a grape.
I mean, they did surgery on a grape, too, but they did a study on a grape.
What, have you seen study? That? No, I didn't.
So, I've been watching the YouTube channel Veritasium for a while, and it's like a smarter everyday kind of channel that, you know, you can watch things that make you smarter every day. This one was the first video they've done in a while, but it was kind of a retread on a video they did like two or three years ago, where the they asked why grapes behave the way they do in microwaves.
How do grapes behave in microwaves?
Okay, so if you place two grapes touching in a microwave, and you turn it on, it will start sharing sparks between the grapes.
Huh.
And yeah. So I don't know if your microwave can end up on fire that way, but I mean,
I wouldn't risk it.
Yeah, it is excess plasma. So they were trying to explain explain why they behave that way, and they really couldn't find a great answer. But there was a team, and I'm not on on my desktop anymore, so it's not allowing me to go to the link.
We'll call it the A team.
There's this team, and you can probably hear this commercial on my feed. Okay. I'm trying to figure out, see which university it was. Anyway. But there's this team that studied the Faraday effect and its effects on on grapes in a Faraday cage, which is a microwave, basically figured out that it's any spheroids that are that have water inside of them will behave in the same way due to like the surface area and how the water is trying to move the current. And it can't move the current all the way through the film. Outer layer. So you know how microwaves work, where water kind of absorbs the microwave, and then water heats up, and so what you're seeing is basically the expression of the energy from one grape trying to make it into the other grape, and trying to get to the path of least resistance. And so they kind of, that's kind of how they explained it. I explain it more in sciencey detail on the video, but, I thought it was really interesting, and they talked about how, they can use that to solve, surface area problems inside in like, different electronic devices. And basically, what's that idea of how electronics become like half smaller every 7 years or something like that?
Oh shit, I can't think of it. The only thing coming to mind is planned obsolescence, but that's not it.
Right. So, but that idea of they can find a way to exploit the surface area technology between like film grids and stuff like that in order to make different batteries and different processors and stuff like that. So yeah. I thought it was cool.
Hell yeah. Also, science.
Also
science, bitch.
Yeah, science, bitch. Also, they did surgery on a grape too, but that's for another time.
That's an old meme.
That's a great meme.
It's very good.
You know what meme I had just discovered?
What?
Do you know the Welsh show called Lemmy Show?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so there's the feathers meme, right?
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
But they're both a kilogram.
A kilogram. If people don't know what we're talking about, Lemmy Show is this Welsh sketch show, and like their more famous sketch is the guy shows up and he goes, what weighs more, a kilogram of steel or a kilogram of feathers?
Oh god, that's so bad.
A kilogram of steel. So I'm just gonna copy this into the show, not the show notes, but into the chat. Gotcha. And the second one is this video called Water. And
oh yeah,
yes,
I've seen this one too. It's like, yeah, look at this, 10 quid for a bottle. This one, 15. I want to show you something. Come with me.
Yeah.
Oh, it tastes of nothing.
Pours it. Goes back to the house. Pours from the tap to the cup. Water, pure water.
Wow, that really is. That's water. Ah, yes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they. The funny part starts when they like cut the skit, and like he's like talking to people, and it's just all about their Welsh accents. Water, yeah, any time day, any time night, water. And the reason why I got to that skit was because you know how the new Pokemon game is set in England.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
Pokemon Brexit.
Well, Pokemon Brexit. They've been like the people on the Blidio Bames group on mm-hmm. Facebook have been sharing some great British memes, great British baking memes, great British memes, and one of them was the girl from Pokemon holding up water. And then underneath it was subtitles saying "wah, pure wah." in time of day and night.
Oh my god. I'm gonna try and find it, but there was wah, pure wah. Such a good meme I shared yesterday. I was super proud to say I am one of the few people who watched all 7 minutes of the Pokemon Direct live stream.
Oh yeah. Where were you when the 7 minutes dropped?
I was so upset that it was only 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
But, so, it's from Scottish Twitter. It's
like, hell yeah.
It's like, just
my favorite subgroup of Twitter.
Just got 30 Pokeballs down at the mart, and the guy asked, do you want a bag? Of course I do, you fucking reprobate. I'm not fucking artillery.
They need to embrace the accent meme.
It's so good. Oh man. Then,
Nintendo. Speaking about Nintendo, our boy Reggie doesn't work there anymore. Sad.
Big sad.
Big sad. Oh, actually, I think he's turning in at the end of March, but
okay.
Still big sad.
Very big sad.
But then the other news was that a man named Bowser is taking his place, which is very funny.
Amazing.
Just very funny.
I'm still holding out hope for Persona 5 on the Switch. Bring the port. I did the Atlas survey. I don't know if you saw this, but Atlas put out a survey to see like what interest there is in their games, and I filled out the whole, it took like 20 minutes. It was a really intense, in-depth one about like the different games Sega Atlas has produced and which ones you enjoyed and what you'd like to see. And you can fucking bet that I asked for both a Switch port of Persona 5, Persona 4, because fuck it, and Catherine.
Persona 4 Golden, Persona 4 Arena.
Oh yeah, gotta have all
Persona 3, Persona 2, Persona 1,
and all of Shin Megami Tensei. You know, just bring it all to the Switch.
All of the Japanese teens and their personas.
I love that game so much. Persona 5, I absolutely fell in love with while I was playing it. I never finished it. I was so sad. I had to sell my. So actually, like I. I was almost done with it when I went inpatient, and then I didn't have time when I got out. And I was like, oh no. Oh, and for some reason, I just, like, when I was upset, I just made the DMX Goomba noise. That was weird. Yo, 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 yo. I'm very confused.
No one's ready for DMX Goomba.
We should do that for a title for one. Remember, the last episode we did? This is what we would have titled it.
Yeah, this is what we would have titled it. I was going to say that talking about video games. First, my last tweet was it was along the lines of, holy shit, guys, I woke up from a nightmare that Kingdom Hearts 3 was released and was underwhelming.
I saw that. That's some good content.
Terrible joke. But I legitimately got up today and I was like, that's a good tweet. I need to tweet that. And then that, and I saw Alita Battle Angel with my girlfriend, and it's basically Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that game?
I do. It was the hack and slash one, right?
The hack and slash one with the cyborg ninja. And yeah, so do you know anything about Alita?
I know I saw the trailer for it in theaters when the trailer came out back in, what was it, like 2015, 2016?
Maybe, yeah.
It's been in, like, development for a while.
Yeah. Robert Rodriguez of Spy Kids fame directed it. And then James Cameron of Titanic and Avatar fame wrote the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it has Christoph Waltz in it, Jennifer Connelly, Mahershala Ali.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Some cool guys that, like, just play the shit out of, like, these just, like, really, like, it's like a dumb anime. Like, mm-hmm. It's real good about being dumb anime, but, like, it's the fighting's real good. Like, the story basically is that she's a cyborg that, doesn't remember anything, obviously, like, mm-hmm. anime. She doesn't remember where she's from, and it turns out that she's from the Floating Sky City, and the Floating Sky City is where all of the rich people live.
Ooh.
And underneath is where all of the poor people live, and the poor people send all of their parts and stuff to the rich people for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, a whole, like, subplot of, like, there are bounty hunters, and then because there's no police, so they kind of, like, offset that with bounty hunters.
Oh, and, fuck, dude.
Yeah. There's all this cyborg stuff that, like, everybody gets cybernetics, which is pretty awesome.
Hell yeah, that's the cyberpunk feature I want.
Yeah, it is. I was actually looking at the Wikipedia entry before the show, and they describe it as cyberpunk. And I was like, I didn't really... Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and then they have, like, a whole, like, they have a thing called Motorball,
mm-hmm.
which is a rugby-esque, roller derby-esque type game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is pretty awesome, and it's, yeah, so you can tackle each other and fight each other and whatever, get the ball, score. It's great. But what I was saying is that Alita Battle Angel and Metal Gear Rising Revengeance are basically, like, kind of the same thing. And I don't know if Metal Gear Rising, like I'm sure Hideo Kojima has watched Alita before, because it was a anime in the 90s.
Oh, so, okay, word.
So definitely, he probably has definitely watched it before.
I feel like Alita, at least from what I've seen from trailers, I feel like Alita is definitely cuter than Raiden.
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, I guess they both do have that hair, and they can do that hair flip.
I got a thing for girls with unnaturally large eyes.
That's true. Yeah, I don't title. I don't know why they chose that that development, that she has unnaturally large eyes. But...
It's like they did a zoom on anime eyes.
Yeah.
Like, anime eyes, but like bigger. And sometimes it works. Like big eyes can work. Like mm-hmm. in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, those big eyes work. Also, I watched it last night again because it released early on iTunes.
Oh yeah. And
I was so happy. Oh my god.
That movie's awesome.
I love this movie so fucking much.
It's one of the best movies I've seen in the theater in a long time.
Oh, big same. And it held up super well. I watched it on my iMac, and that it really came across with that 5K display. Like, oh man, with the HDR. Oh.
Yeah, so more similarities between that and Raiden, Alita and Raiden. They both get...
Oh, dude!
They both
spoilers.
Have, yeah, they both have a thing where they're fighting in a skyscraper in order to find the big bad.
I'm gonna tell
which
you,
is a great scene.
I'm gonna,
I love those scenes.
Have to teach you about Total Media Blackout. are you familiar with Total Media Blackout? Digga digga digga. Copyright Todd Vaziri. I'm pretty sure.
No.
Total Media Blackout is a thing I got from podcasts. Initially, I was introduced to the idea, I think, by Mike Hurley. And basically, if there's a show you want to see, you stay off Facebook, you stay off Twitter, you mute anything related to it. You don't watch the trailers. You go in with completely fresh eyes to see the movie. Not saying I was going to try and do Total Media Blackout for Alita Battle Angel, but you might have just ruined Total Media Blackout for Alita Battle Angel.
Oh, man. It's epic, though. It's dumb and it's good. Yeah. I'll say about that, yes.
Dumb,
you'll wanna experience it for yourself. Dumb, good skyscrapers. Mahershala Ali has... glasses, like the black rim glasses, and like a leather jacket. He looks like Morpheus.
God. I love me some Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, he's awesome. Did you watch True Detective?
I did.
Yeah, the third season, it was phenomenal. It was really, really good.
The another one, he was in Green Book, right, as well, most recently?
He was. I haven't seen that.
Me either. It's been on my list. And then apparently this like come from behind movie that I never heard of did really well in awards ceremonies that I don't pay attention to. But uh-huh. Roma, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
And then it like it blew up.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it until the award ceremony either. I mean, it's a foreign language film, so
gotcha.
And you probably didn't get a lot of press around here.
Oh, my name is Amelie. Come with me, and you'll see.
Oh, Jesus. Title. Jesus Christ. Real quickly, I don't know if you want to get into do we really want to talk about the Roger Stone article? Because it's really fucking good. I could talk about books, because I like books.
I didn't read the Roger Stone article, but I did see kind of like the meltdown with him being a dick and then going off on the federal judge who
that was a good one.
Put the gag order down, and then I think he was held in contempt, wasn't he, for his Instagram post?
I think he was just warned. Got off of a warning. But no. I think they actually did put the gag order on him. He didn't have it before, but that was. I mean, they you know how they argued that he was not Kim Kardashian. He's not going to be like shooting out all of his life and all over Twitter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does. But anyway, the article by Jeffrey Toobin for The New Yorker. There was an interview on Fresh Air too, 2 weeks ago, because we were supposed to do this 2 weeks ago. Yes. we were supposed to do this a week ago, but 2 weeks ago there was this interview, and it's basically like the origin story of Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi and how they got together and backed Trump when other people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so like Roger Stone's been riding the Trump wave for politics since like the late 80s. And because Roger Stone is very like chaos creator kind of dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, wherever bad things happened in politics, bad coming from a leftist cuck like me, bad mm-hmm. things happen in politics. Actually you could just say they're irreversibly bad no matter what political leanings you have, but like from Nixon on, he's been on like on or advisor to every Republican president, and
mm-hmm.
you know, been in that kind of spotlight, and you know, he's been in trouble a lot and he gets away with it. Mm-hmm. And he calls himself a dirty trickster, and
he's an evil piece of shit, and he has a tattoo of Nixon on the small of his back or between his shoulder blades. He's very weird and very gross.
He is very weird. Jerome Corsi, on the other hand, is a dude that is a PhD, I think political professor,
mm-hmm.
That figured out that he had a knack for writing books that were just complete bullshit,
mm-hmm.
that were conspiracy theories. So his first book was about how John Kerry made up everything that he said about the Vietnam War, even though that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of money off of that book. And so they those two met when they both wrote books for the anniversary of the JFK assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And they both read each other's books and got together and liked each other enough that they stayed in touch. So when Trump called up Roger Stone, Roger Stone called up Jerome Corsi. And so they were kind of his, like, you know, backup guys when it came to, you know, this is what the media really doesn't want to tell you, Mr. Trump. Like, this is what, you know, the conspiracy theorists that whispered in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And then why all this matters is because Roger Stone and Corsi are both going to be pulled into the Mueller investigation at some point, because there's evidence that they knew about the hacking of the DNC emails before they actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is that they got in contact with WikiLeaks and with a Russian hackers, basically. Mm-hmm. And either Russian hackers told them directly that they are going to attack Podesta,
mm-hmm.
or WikiLeaks told them that Russian hackers told them that he was going to attack Podesta. Either way, they're implicated in, you know, conspiracy mm-hmm. Charges. And then that all ties into, did Trump actually know that? Because it, you know, if you hear that soundbite where he like starts inviting Russians to hack Hillary's emails, like mm-hmm. it seems very malicious. Like you don't do that. Like,
oh, that's... yeah, absolutely. And there was there's a tweet I saw today from Meet the Press this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And it was, oh, what's his fucking name? Jim Jordan, I think, the representative from our state.
Yeah.
Who went on Meet the Press and was essentially said, who knows why Russia did it? Yeah, he definitely thinks they interfered in the election. He's like, right. But there was no collusion. There was absolutely no collusion. Who knows why they did it? They can do whatever right. they want. But all I know is that President Trump never knew about it. It's like,
right.
what a fucking cock.
The the name of the article comes from Roger Stone's tweet that implicates him, which he says soon it will be Podesta's time in the barrel, which is like super gross. But yeah. The article is called Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi's time in the barrel, because they are definitely both going down this year.
Oh, hey, they. So, yeah, it's a great time we live in.
That was a thing that I wanted to share from Fresh Air, because that's a great interview.
Hell yeah.
Jeffrey Toobin is a really good writer, mm-hmm. Investigator, journalist.
There was an article that I think it's the only article I put in the show notes. It's by Casey Newton over at The Verge.
I looked over that before the show.
Oh yeah, it's called The Trauma Floor. Crazy. And yep. It's another good reason why you shouldn't be on Facebook. And I'm going to go cursorily over the opening graph of this. So it opens with the line, "The panic attack started after Chloe watched a man die. She spent 3.5 weeks in training, trying to harden herself against the daily onslaught of disturbing posts, the hate speech, the violent attacks, the graphic pornography. In a few more days, she would become a full-time Facebook content moderator, or what the company she works for, a professional services vendor named Cognizant, opaquely calls a process executive. For this portion of her education, Chloe will have to moderate a Facebook post in front of her fellow trainees. When it's her turn, she walks to the front of the room where a monitor displays a video that's been posted to the world's largest social network. None of the trainees have seen it before, Chloe included. She presses play. The video depicts a man being murdered. Someone is stabbing him dozens of times while he screams and begs for his life. Chloe's job is to tell the room whether this post should be removed. She knows that Section 13 of the Facebook Community Standards prohibits video that depict the murder of one or more people. When Chloe explains this to the class, she hears her voice shaking. Returning to her seat, Chloe feels an overpowering urge to sob. Another trainee has gone up to review the next post, but Chloe cannot concentrate. She leaves the room and begins to cry so hard she begins to have trouble breathing. No one tries to comfort her. This is the job she was hired to do, and for 1,000 people like Chloe moderating content for Facebook at the Phoenix site, and for 15,000 content reviewers around the world, today is just another day at the office. Holy fuck.
I mean, there's no automation. It's, I mean, when it comes to content like that, like, and rightfully so, is that, you know, you need people behind there that know, oh, this is like actual like content that deserves to be on here, as opposed to, but yeah, man. the extreme nature of that.
It's crazy. Incredibly upsetting, and it's like people have this idea that because like they're detached, like it's, oh, they're just watching a video. It's similar to the argument that people made for a very long time when pilots who that people who piloted drones, when they got out, they'd seek disability from the VA for PTSD because of what they had to do, even though they were thousands of miles away and detached from what they were actually doing. They still saw everything, and they still saw the results of them pulling the trigger and seeing the explosives go off. And the VA tried to say, no, you can't get PTSD for this. It's like, crazy. No. But it's horrifying and upsetting. And unfortunately, I wish there was an algorithm that would be able to sort this information, but its technology just isn't there yet. You'd run into something like the giraffe problem, which is a much more adorable issue. But it are you familiar with the giraffe problem?
I think I can get it from context, but if you want to explain it.
So the giraffe problem is essentially when you're like low level, like you're about working on your project to finish off your bachelor's degree in computer science or something like that, and you teach a like low-level AI to pick pictures of giraffes out of an assortment of images, and it picks giraffes out the more and more times as you rebuild the code and blah 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 blah. The giraffe mm-hmm. problem is where essentially it's the program's understanding of what a giraffe is will lead it to look for giraffes everywhere. Uh-huh. In much greater frequency than giraffes actually occur. So that program will think they're, this is a picture of a street, but I'm looking for giraffes because I feel like there should be giraffes here, and starts returning errors. Like, why aren't there any giraffes here? Because how I've been programmed, there should be giraffes literally everywhere because that's all I have to look for. And
can I tell you what my headcanon description of the giraffe problem was?
Yes.
My headcanon description was a recognition software that was made to find giraffes, but only finds phalluses. Boom.
Phallus Finder 2000. Phallus Let's Finder go. Phallus Finder 2000. Title.
Title. Wow.
Oh,
man. Yeah, I had a bunch more notes, but I think you have to go soon, right?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Unfortunately. But yeah, let's end on something brighter than. Oh man, I'm looking at this picture on the article, and she is wearing the headphones I'm currently wearing for my levels.
Nice.
My Sony EDRs. But
I actually don't know what to end with.
All right, let me see. Oh man. Omicron. We should shit on David Cage a little bit.
Okay.
That's it.
Omicron, we should shit on David Cage a little bit?
Yeah, just so fuck David Cage. That's not funny. That's nowhere to go.
That's
with
not
that.
Funny. That's not. Yeah. I was just going past tweets because shameless self-promotion. I'm gonna share one of my tweets.
All right.
The people have spoken and said unto me, you're fired, an excerpt from Donald Trump's resignation speech 2019. Boom. But we did a final before we actually closed the show.
Oh shit, dog. We need to do
because we're great. Yeah. This has been an episode of Every Other Wednesday. My name is, I had a weird squeak in my voice, Devin Everatnam. You can find me at devineva.com or on Twitter at devineva. Where can they find you, Dylan?
They can find me on twitter.com at Dylan Bickers, on my website, dylanbickers.com, where I've recently posted a blog post. I have died many deaths. It's very good. You will enjoy it. And the podcast hosting for this is provided by Fireside, courtesy of Dan Benjamin. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
You can find our podcast and the show notes at eow.fireside.fm.
Oh, yeah. And then, go check out Villainous Beats. We've talked about him in the beginning of the show, but go check out all his stuff because he has beats for sale and we might buy some up.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I also didn't forgot to mention that I actually wrote a little thing called Thank You, Ta-Nehisi Coates, because I read Between the World and Me, and it's a phenomenal book. So I wrote up a little thing about it.
Hell
on
yeah.
My bloggity thing. And let's do an actual final, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I got one of my tweets pulled up.
Hell yeah.
Do you ever
Shameless
look at
self-promotion.
Yeah, man. Do you ever look at a text message you sent and think, wow, that's too many exclamation marks. Asking for a friend. It's me. I'm the exclamatory friend.
All right. See you, Dylan.
See you, Devin.